And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Man, I'm talking about down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, even thrown in just for good measure. And like the dude said at the beginning of the hour, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, listen, I'm going to number one of the Triple Dipper, the Big Tech Reckoning. So here's the thing. I don't know if any of y'all have ever experienced this before, but I have, where you get locked out of your Twitter account or your Facebook, or you're trying to take a simple, like an op-ed that I wrote, and we want to boost it and give it some, you know, some platform exposure, pick up some new followers. No, you've been disallowed. Or one of the most irritating ones for me, and it's not as bad, it's kind of irritating. Like this morning, I retweeted an article that I wrote. And when I saw it, I went, oh, I'm going to send that back out. And when I hit retweet, it immediately flagged it and said, don't you want to read the article first? No, I wrote it. But nonetheless, I look at it. And I mean, that's not as bad as some of what I've had before. Like had somebody that apparently took issue with a tweet that I had done 6 months prior and felt like it was a mean tweet. And next thing I know, I'm locked out of my account for like 48 hours. I guess that's the Twitter version of you go take a timeout. That's what I got. I got put into, like, you know, Twitter lockout. You know, what do they call that in hockey where you have to go sit in the booth?
Penalty box.
The penalty box. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Penalty box.
I was in the Twitter penalty box. Yeah, I'm just sitting there, just fuming, waiting, waiting. I'm gonna get back in. I'm gonna punch him right in the mouth, man. I'm gonna get back on the ice. No, I was in the Twitter penalty box, but yeah. So Twitter has, Facebook has, not Facebook, what do they call themselves? Meta. That's a strange name, Meta. But Twitter, Meta, Google, they all have the ability to deplatform you. Look what they did, by the way, to Parler. Remember Parler? It was the next great thing that was going to come out of social media. It was going to be the Twitter alternative. It was going to give you a voice that Twitter wouldn't allow you to have, except they were hosted on a Google-based platform. And they got deplatformed, and I don't know how many people had invested in Parler, but they lost money overnight. They suddenly went from being the most downloaded app in the nation to suddenly being off the App Store, literally deplatformed and couldn't operate. They just went away. Well, here's the thing. Big tech has become so big, and they still argue, and I get it. I don't not get it. I get this. I mean, there are people who have poured years into building these platforms, invested millions, maybe billions, into building these platforms into what they are. They have truly created, in some ways, the better mousetrap, and that's what the free market should do. I get it. But we have a whole realm of the law called antitrust, and that's when you build something that is so big that it becomes the dominant force that does not allow for any competition in the market. At times, the government recognizes, whether we like it or not, that something has gotten so big, so monopolistic, so out of its wheelhouse, in a sense, that it has gained tentacles that have grown to the point that it has to then be deregulated in order to make it more manageable so that it doesn't stifle the free market. Because what was a free market buildup has now become the only thing in the market that can actually prevail. Now, that's a dicey call. I'm not sitting here telling you, go deregulate. If they're too big, just go get them. No, I'm not sitting around saying big corporations, big pharma, big what. Some of those are bad news. Some of them are just the free market allowing for the building of the better mousetrap. But what's happened with big tech is that the Twitters and the Facebook Metas and the Googles and the Amazons, they dominate the space so much so that they have now taken over the market. And on top of that, they seem to have this unlimited capacity to do whatever they want and to be shielded behind what is known as Section 230 of what was originally designed to be, what was it called? I'll find the law in a minute, but it was a Section 230 of an act that was regarding the publishing of indecent or improper, the Telecommunications Act, that's what it was, the Telecommunications Act of 1996. So the Telecommunications Act of 1996 had a section in there, section 230, that basically was designed to prevent, you know, the posting of pornography and that kind of stuff in places where it shouldn't be. And so that way a platform could say, oh, shoot, that shouldn't be on there. We take it down. And they can't get sued because they're protected. They're allowed to protect the public from things that were not meant to be on their platform. Except that they are now hiding behind that for the purpose of what we call viewpoint discrimination. Viewpoint discrimination just simply means that they are literally, they have made themselves so big, so dominant in the space. They are the elephant in the room. In fact, they dominate the room. Nothing else can get in the room. And as a result, when it comes to public discourse, these big tech companies, y'all, they've become what we call the electronic version of the public square. Used to be the herald of the public square went out there and he could stand on the street corners in the public square and he could say his piece. Well, where you do that now is on Twitter and Facebook and other social media platforms. And so what we've got now is a situation where they have technically become the de facto public square, and yet they're telling people they can't speak. You know, it's little things like, do you want to read the article first? Well, I wrote the article. Or how about this? Somebody complained about a mean tweet about something that was real, but they didn't like the way you said it. So you're locked out. You get 2 days of a timeout. Or how about this? You're the president of the United States, but we disagree with your view altogether, so we're going to take you off the platform so nobody can hear what you have to say, a.k.a. President Trump. Yeah, the actual president of the United States taken off of Twitter, but not the Ayatollah of Iran who can still shout death to America. He has a Twitter account. Go figure that. What does that mean? What that means is it was not level. It was not even. It was pure viewpoint discrimination. What happened to that whole thing about the Hunter Biden laptop like 3 weeks before the election? That was not allowed. You couldn't talk about that. You could get taken down. You could get sent to the penalty box for Twitter. Why? Wait, hang on a second. What happened to that whole thing about, I thought ivermectin was something that's already been in use for, you know, decades and is seen as being a potential, you know, medicinal use now for COVID. Oh, no, that does not fit the norm. You cannot say that on our social media platform. We will ban you. But you're not a doctor. Well, but we own the platform. So when does it become a First Amendment right for big tech? That's the question, y'all. That's what it boils down to. Because in the eyes of the court, when you form an LLC or a corporation, those things have legal presence. They have standing. They can bring their own causes of action in a trial, in a court of law, excuse me. An actual corporation is considered almost like a physical entity, like a person in the eyes of the court. So should the corporation not also have its own rights to freedom of speech? Because freedom of speech is not just what you say. Sometimes freedom of speech is not being made to say something you don't want to say. Let me say that again. Sometimes free speech is not just what you say. Sometimes free speech is not being made to say things you don't want to say. In that case, what if Twitter is a corporation? Do they not have a freedom of speech right to say, we don't like your viewpoint, therefore, since it's our platform, you can't have it on there? Well, that's what their argument is. And yet the other argument is, no, you're the new public square. You're where everybody goes. You're the place where people connect. You built yourself as the right of free expression, and you can't just say you get to decide what is free expression and what isn't. And so here we are in court. And we got a whole new day as of yesterday. Breaking news late yesterday afternoon. A federal court, story here on Fox News, a federal court in Texas in the Fifth Circuit. Now, federal courts are all broken up into different circuits. We are in Alabama, which is part of the 11th Circuit, which saw it differently in a different case, and we'll get into that later. But the 11th Circuit's already dealt with this issue through a Florida law, but Texas is in the Fifth Circuit, so Fifth Circuit went to court on a bill that was signed into law by Governor Greg Abbott, passed by their state legislature. It was called HB 20. It was a Texas bill that regulates social media platforms that have more than 50 million users. That includes Google, Facebook, Twitter. And the law passed in Texas alone, just in the Texas state courts, says they cannot censor or limit users' speech based upon viewpoint expression. All right. Seems reasonable, right? You can't just say you don't like it, therefore it's not going to be allowed. Well, it was a little broader than that, and I'll get back to that in a minute. It was a little more narrow, I guess, in focus is what I'm trying to say. I said broader. It's more narrow. It didn't allow true hate speech. It didn't allow things like, you know, soliciting child pornography. No, it didn't allow everything in the world. But it did say you can't just, you know, willy-nilly do viewpoint expression. So the judge, though, yesterday was a win for the freedom of speech of the users of those platforms, not the platforms themselves. The platforms lost. Facebook, Twitter, Google, they lost yesterday. In the opinion, federal judge Andrew S. Oldham of the Fifth Circuit said the platforms argued for, you ready, quote, a rather odd inversion of the First Amendment that buried somewhere in the person's enumerated right to free speech lies a corporation's unenumerated right to muzzle that speech. The judge went on to say, today we reject the idea that corporations have a freewheeling First Amendment right to censor what people say. Huh. Now we're getting down to the rub, man. Where is it okay for one to limit the speech of another when one owns the platform? What if I want to mail something to you? And you look at me and go, all right, but you're the one who controls most of the mail, so you've got to include my hate speech letter in your mail out. Why? What if you're the only newspaper in town? You're the only newspaper in town. You've got to run my ad for the next Ku Klux Klan rally. We don't want to run that. Well, you've got to. You're the only place in town that I can go to get it advertised. No. All right, so when's it okay? When's it not okay? That's the rub, y'all. That's where we are. And what's interesting is the 11th Circuit struck down a Florida law that was very similar, but the 5th Circuit upheld the law, which means we have what's called split circuits. And we're going to wind up being in the Supreme Court for too long. That's my figuring. There you go. All right, the legal breakdown. All right, Boomer, take us to a break. I've exhausted myself. I just exhausted myself. I didn't even get into my stack. But yeah. Folks, it's fascinating to me. I mean, you go on Twitter, you go on Facebook, you want to say stuff, and then they shut you down. The question becomes, how long can they keep doing this and getting away with it? Well, maybe not much longer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Man, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative is what I like to say. Well, hey, listen, by the way, if you want to text in, I see some folks have been texting the show. I'm going to hit a couple of those here in a second. But if you want to call or text in, the number is the same, 833-687-4448. It's up on the top of our website, rightsideradio.org. That's 833-687-4448. The real way we like to say it is 833-68-RIGHT. That's the number. If you're texting it for the very first time, text the word right side. That puts us in a position where we can get your name and where you're from so we can say, you know, like, hey, I got a text here from Brian from Huntsville, which, by the way, I do. Let me jump over there real quick. Brian from Huntsville, with regards to the media, he says he who controls the media controls the mind. Subliminal messages. If they keep telling you something over and over again, people begin to believe it. You are so right, man. What's that song? Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think. Man, what's the guy's name? He used to, darn it, I've forgotten his name off the top of my head. But he says, basically in one of his songs, he says, when they own the information, they can bend it all they want. And that is so true. anyway, I got one from Brandon that says, "Hey, what's up? Hey, Brandon, what's up with you? Got another one here. JT from Lacey Springs. Yes, I was. I was put in Twitter. Twitter's the Twitter tree for timeout." He says, "For misbehaving." Yes, I was. And a minute ago, I think I said that was Brian from Huntsville, but it was actually Paul from Athens who said that about he controls the media. So I had that one wrong.
Hey, I got a question.
You got a question for
me? Yeah, I got a question. So about this censoring on the social media platforms,
yeah.
Are they, my question is it bots or is it human beings or what's going on here?
With, I mean, like who's actually doing it?
Yeah, who's actually doing this?
Who decides Phil gets into Twitter penalty box?
Yeah.
So who decides Boomer has been bad on Facebook?
Who's the referee here?
Who throws the flag?
Yeah.
So here's my understanding. Mm-hmm. I'm not a techie, but my understanding is two things. One is they have algorithms they've built that, you know, watch for certain things, allow certain things to be magnified, certain things to be suppressed, certain things to be boosted or not boosted. And then, so that's built by somebody, obviously. But so there's got to be some subjectivity built into that because mm-hmm. a person had to create the algorithm. But then the other thing they've got is actual people whose job it is to be the censors, to be the monitors, if you will.
Right.
Yeah. The truth, you know, tellers, the Office of Misrepresentation. But they've got folks who handle the complaints, like whoever complained that I had said something mean. I don't know what it was. I can't even imagine that it was that big a deal. Anyway.
Right.
And they've got other people who just kind of scan. My understanding is they just scan. Like, look at that trending thing. We can't have that trend anymore. Bam, it's gone.
It's gone. Wow. Yeah.
Hunter Biden's laptop. That can't happen.
No, we can't talk about that.
No, ivermectin.
Wow, come on, guys.
So, yeah, I think it's a combination of – now, at some point, a person's involved in all of it.
Right.
Either the person designed the algorithm or a person is sitting there monitoring or answering a complaint. Or just reaching out to censor you.
Those people, those referees.
So basically, go hire nothing but a bunch of tree-hugging liberals, and you're going to get what? Tree-hugging liberal viewpoints you have censors.
Or those freshies out of college and say, hey, we don't want this, and they're too scared to do anything else, so they're going to take it off.
Did you say freshies?
I said freshies.
Is that a word?
I just made it.
You just made that up?
Are those freshies out of college.
Freshies. That's what I'm going to call them from now on. These neophyte, skull full of mush individuals who don't have any world experience, I'm going to call them freshies from now on. It's a boomer word.
It's a boomer word.
All right. Put a list up on the wall. Put the white paper on the wall. Every time we have a new boomer word, we got to write it down. I like it. I'm pretty sure, by the way, my monologue, according to when I worked on my monologue this morning, I had several places where it was trying to tell me that was not a real word, and I was like, it is today. that's one of my favorite places to go on Microsoft Word is when you can just right click on the word and tell it to add it to my dictionary because it's now a real word in Phil's world.
It is now Phil's word.
Does that mean that I'm nothing but a big tech savant now? I've just become a monitor or a sensor.
Oh, to your own.
I'm
word
creating
docs.
Words.
Yes.
Nah.
Nah, that's good. They're good. They're all good words.
All right, coming up here at the right after the news break. We got a ton of texts coming in now. But coming up after the news break, my friend Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, he's taking a look at this case and the 11th Circuit case to try and decide where do we stand and what's going to happen and where's this going. And we're going to have a dialogue about big tech in court and sort of unpack that a bit and see where it goes and get his thoughts on what just happened. Does it impact us? Well, us per se, no. Texas, maybe. But that's why the Supreme Court's probably going to wind up having to take it up, because you can't have this patchwork quilt of legal opinions that change how a national organization is supposed to respond to life. You know, you got to have some congruity, some compatibility, some ability to go across state lines. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.